This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Scalar and two throw sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
Oh my God! This is the beginning of your favorite podcast covering the most important episode of RuPaul's Drag Race ever released. You're listening to Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast available to you on this whole fucking internet. And we're so excited because we're covering this absolutely amazing episode of Drag Race that everyone saw and the gay community loves. The gay community is obsessed with this episode. They said, you know what?
I haven't rested.
No, they said, uncle. After weeks of rolling their eyes and not giving a flying fuck, they said, you know what? We salute.
You are daddy. Salute. We submit.
And it's something we've never seen before.
No.
That amazing voice you're hearing is the sultry squeaks. The sultry squeaks of my very, very dear friend and current reigning all-star winner of Bad Drag Race. It's Chad Westbrook, also known as Stepmom.
Hey.
Chad. Hey, bitch. Hey, you fucking bitch.
Hey, bitch.
Oh, my God. It's so good to see you, you fucking bitch.
You're a fucking bitch.
I do feel like we need more cuss words. I'm bored. I need more cuss words. I think I'm going to bring back Gash.
Well, there was a moment in time, and maybe it's still there, and I don't know, but where bitch became, we're not, like, bitch is maybe not good to say. And I don't know if that's
still immediately said, no, we liked it too much.
I don't know. Maybe that is still the energy in some circles, but well, in this house?
In this house?
Wait, sorry, I say it.
That was a very good, I mean, I'm glad we had, I don't know, that's tough. It's like, yeah,
that conversation,
that's
yeah.
It's a tough conversation to have. And it's like, but yeah, it's so fun to say when you're a queer monster who's kind of using it flippantly.
And I really love, I've gotten really into saying things like with more acid in the tone, where you go, where you hit bitch hard, like bitch.
Oh my
like,
God. Well, that's what comedy is. Comedy is hard K's. You know what I'm saying? Like it really is just like Tuckahoe prison for ladies is predicated on the funniness of a hard C.
That's right.
Yeah, I 100% get it. I'm going to make Gash a thing. I'm going to make Gash my little like, hey, Gash. Yeah. That's going to be my new thing.
Another way to like, if you're bored of cussing, another way to get into the excitement, bring some fire back into it is just adding another descriptor before.
Yeah. Okay. Wait,
like,
tell me more.
Like drippy gash. Hey, drippy gash. Or like, hey, like.
Hey, yeah, like, that's true. Crusty.
Hey, boring bitch. Or whatever.
Yeah. Crusty cunt. What are you, crusty little cunt? Yeah, that's fun.
Then you can like
that.
Mix and match.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Hey, you slippery vagina belch.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. I'm here for this. Chad. You know, in case anyone doesn't know, you know, we are comedy friends. We do comedy together. We're on a very funny improv team called Rita Repulsa.
Yeah.
That's performing locally sometimes. And, we just had our 3-month run of Bad Drag Race. The Drag Her listeners know we talk about it. And some of them came to the show, which I was, if you came to the show and you listened to this pod, you're fucking amazing and we fucking live for you. There were people who came and they said, Bad Drag Race where? Because some of our girls really turned it out. I'm going to say all of the performers turned.
Yeah, I mean, the performance part of Bad Drag Race has always been like number one.
Absolutely.
But I think like slowly and surely, this show is kind of turning people into legit drag queens.
There's
like a few people within the mix that are like, it just awoke, a drag bug
I'm
within.
I'm wide awaked. Like,
Yeah. I'm wide awake to Katy Perry into the drag existence and realm.
We stan, Katy.
Katy's back.
Unproblematic babe.
Katy's back with her fast food jingle or whatever.
I can't wait till she comes back with a new, I haven't seen this, but anytime she's going to show up with a new haircut and the gay community is going to go, okay.
I know. But history will be on her side.
Yeah. As she throws pizzas at our wide open maws.
I forgot about that.
Our gaping trash holes.
Drippy
cunt mouths. I'm sorry, you were saying, yes, people are really stepping it up.
Yeah, there's some legit drag energy. And it's like, I mean, I've said this a million times. I think it's legit one of the best drag shows, period. One of the best shows, period. It's just so high energy. The crowds are always also like such a huge part of it, because it's just like, how often do you get to perform where it's like a theater on their feet, like screaming. It's just the biggest high energy, funnest show in the world.
That's what is interesting about our show. Obviously, like, you know, a lot of drag shows are in gay venues, and that's amazing. Like bars, like those are gay safe places, and we love that. But it is interesting that like we do a drag show for the stage. It's just a little different, right? Because there isn't like people sucking dick in the bathroom. It's like people are here to watch this show.
There might be.
I hope so. That would fill me.
I would love.
It would fill my hole.
It is a little, there's like a little more of a like presentational maybe thing or some element there that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And okay, so let's talk about it, because your makeup is sickening. You went fucking all out. You just won. Everyone, I mean, like it was picking between amazing and amazinger, but your final number was really fucking dumb and very crown worthy. Talk to us about this past journey, the past couple months of becoming the Bad Drag Race All-Star.
Well, I mean, it's this whole thing has been so interesting, because I like don't know how much, I don't know if I would have done drag or gotten back into it. I like dumped all of the drag I ever had during the pandemic. And I just, it's like, it's so much work to do it. And then you're like, what path am I walking here? How far can I go? And it just, you know, whatever. And then getting back into this run of the shows, it's just so fun to put your entire back into a show like this. And so I just like really recommitted to it. And it's fun to spend a lot of time and energy and a little bit of money on like putting on like a real show.
It was
and this
wild.
Last number, I think it's like fulfilling a thing that a lot of young gay kids probably experience, of just like wanting to be a pop star. But being able to like, I have a friend who helps me make music, and then getting to like put on this little music video performance.
It's like a well-produced song. You had audio and video that matched up. Your costumes were insane. Did you make the alien outfit?
Yeah.
What the fuck did you make? And where did you get that silver material for the spaceship?
Okay. And this is another thing. So, okay. And also for those who didn't go,
post this on the Drag Her like thing, so people go like, what the fuck are we talking about? Okay. But tell us.
Well, yeah, so the number was called I'm Bored parentheses Let's Go to the Moon, and my drag character is Stepmom, and her whole thing was she's rich and she's a like constant widower, because she keeps killing these rich husbands. Yeah. She's killed 19 different times. And so this is the third song in this, like, I don't know what I'm doing with it, but she had one where she was obsessed with convertibles, and then she had one where it was all about her like killing her husband and getting the money from it.
It's
and
a
then
car without
one,
a roof, right?
A car without a roof.
Yeah.
Convertible is a car without a roof.
And that's still on YouTube, right?
Yeah, that's still on.
Yes.
That's still on YouTube. Okay. But then this one, it was fun. It's just about her going to the moon because she's bored. And it's like, what do rich people do if they're bored? They go to the moon. And so it's this whole like, whatever. Rachel Bloom called it a space opera afterwards, and I really liked that description of it.
It truly is. She misses the moon, which is there's many strokes of comedic genius, but her missing the moon was when I really said, case closed.
Case closed.
Solved. I was just like that. I was sold. I was in. It's really fucking fun. You got good at beating your mug too. And you had to beat your friend.
You.
You had to beat Jake's mugs too.
Yeah. Which I'd never done that before. And it's fun. I mean, it's hard. It is harder to do someone else's makeup. And I also like, I do think I've gotten so much better at my face, but I'm sure that's for everybody. Like it just this ongoing. I want to be like Stuntinta Mananta.
I think you can. And I want to see you audition for the show.
I'd love it.
I'm putting it out in the universe. I think you got it. You got it, toots.
It would be so fun. It would be like, I mean, also just the being on TV of it all would be so.
Yeah. Turns out it's fun. Being on TV is fun. You get a lot of attention. So you might get more money too. I think most certainly you get more money. I don't know how much money you're making now, but I think you'll make more money.
Yeah.
That's really cool. It was so fun to hear you also talk about you were really enjoying putting the creative energy into it and like being excited about it as opposed to like, ugh, this is so much work. Cause it is so much work.
It's a ton. I mean, I don't know how interesting this is for everybody, but I have had some doors open in my brain through doing these shows where, I don't think I've ever experienced a thing where I was like, I'm doing a lot of work, but I love every second of it. And I don't feel delusional about like if I'm good or bad or whatever. Like I feel like I'm capable and I'm willing to do the work. And then that combination made for like a really fun show every month.
The pandemic brought me back around, but keep going.
Well, it was this weird identity thing I've had with doing drag, I think a little bit where, cause I also do, you know, like acting stuff, commercials, et cetera. And there's, I think because that's so connected to like you and your, like my day-to-day presentational look, there's a little bit of a different feeling when you're, you know, just putting yourself on tape for Dave's Hot Chicken commercial or whatever. and then doing it in drag,
it says, not faggy. It says it says right there. It's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I love chicken.
Yeah. Be really thick voice and sturdy in your maleness.
Make it look like you've shaken a woman at least once. Sorry, you were saying.
Well, I think part of the fun of this run of doing it was, there's like zero, like, I don't care. I'm not like being perceived, you know, whatever of the like weird insecurities you have about your physical appearance when you do drag. For me, at least, that's all out the window. So there's no like self-doubt fear thing that takes over when you're trying to build a number. Cause you're just like, you just get to just be creative and fun without thinking about like my receding hairline or my, this tooth.
That's really okay. That's good to know. Yeah, I've talked about this a lot, and in drag, I mean, you know, me and Ozma are different in terms of like Ozma's like I'm the character, and whatever for my brain, I'm like I'm me.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm like, there's so many ways to approach drag. I think I'm maybe one of those drag queens who's more like it's me in a wig. Let's go. I think I'm like a little cuntier and a little like on. I'm definitely on.
Yeah.
But Ozma's the kind of queen who's like, I'm a character. I am the character. Yeah. How is your stepmom journey feeling? Is it more you driven? Is it more character driven?
I think it's like full character. It's like a completely new identity. Although the doing Snatch Game this round.
Mm-hmm. Which you did Ash Ketchum
with big titties. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you kind of, it's hard to be like the stepmom character and then like do a character as the stepmom character, you know? So
right.
That also made me kind of be like, it's more fun to be like me and then like an infusion of stepmom rather than I think before I was like, I'm fully just doing like a, like SNL version character of a this person.
Interesting. I see what you're saying. It's like you have the character, but you're not afraid to like weave in some of the funny things the Chad brain is thinking.
Yeah. Exactly. There's like a blend, I think, nowadays.
I think that's a good thing. And it's been really interesting. I think something about post-pandy, I was like re-excited about drag and then also like opening doors for me because I used to find the performance side of it like not very fun, and now I'm finding my way
also,
to enjoying it.
This was my favorite performance you've ever done.
Oh, thanks.
You were so good.
Thanks, bitch.
And so many people came up to me afterwards because I didn't get to, I had to see it like afterwards on tape.
Of course, because of the stage.
Everybody was like raving about you.
I had a really good time. And that's what's interesting to me about drag is like I was trying over the years trying to figure out what kind of performance, or what kind of performer am I? And like, I am not a shocker. I'm not a Shangela 5678 Shablam.
Yeah.
So it was just trying to find your frequency in drag has been a super interesting thing that has been very much unlocked with Bad Drag Race.
Yeah. And it's really fun to be able to, it's fun to like experience it live, like watch other people's and watch your own development in this way and finding like a new voice, especially because we've been doing comedy for a little while and it's just like this kind of other section of the same thing, but it's like an unexplored part of the same brain and the same world we've been in.
Yes, absolutely. It's like, yeah, it's like the other side of the coin. It's a weird thing. It's like we get it, but we're approaching it this way, which is what I think is so fun about our show. And it's gonna come back probably December. I don't know.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Follow us on Dragger Podcast and our pods, and we'll let you know when it comes back. Holy shit. Well, I guess it's time for us to actually talk about the episode of Drag Race we're talking today.
I can't wait.
Oh, we're salivating. All the listeners are saying this is our favorite season of Drag Race ever. This season is canon. Everyone loves it.
They're saying who's who. I can't tell who's who.
I can't tell who is that. Yeah, I mean, and you know, and the predictions are hot. You know, Meryl Streep, Celine Dion, Demi Moore. Yeah. These are all very probably who it is.
Yeah, at least that caliber.
It's gotta be that level. Oh, let's talk about this cranberry dress Mother Rue is wearing.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's a dress.
I don't know. I haven't really been paying super close attention to every single look of hers, but it does feel like,
I don't think she has been paying very close attention to her looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like a pared down version of what she might do on Drag Race.
She's saving the good looks for Drag Race. This is great. She's stunning.
It's stunning.
But it's not like, she's not, you know.
Her bar is just so high. This is like her version of gray sweatpants.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll do my Merlot lace.
Her gray sweatpants. Yeah, it is. You're right. It is her gray sweatpants. And baby, you can see those vagina lips swinging.
Oh my God, Mono.
Whatever you gash. So it's really exciting. Have you enjoyed this season of The Secret Drag Race Celebrities Secrets?
Oh, that's my favorite show on television. It's
fuck off.
So the first season was obviously a much different format. This is, they've kind of, I think they're cracking into like something more compelling. I did find it much more interesting when they had like all the duets and they brought back like Drag Race queens.
That should be the whole show.
I think so too.
You get a queen at the top of the season. Is it, or do they mix them, or do they just bring a queen at the top of the season? Like, this is just like you have a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. This is your diva.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. It's a mix of Dancing with the Stars and The Masked Singer.
Right. Maybe that's it. Cause it's like The Secret isn't as compelling, really.
Once literally the first episode, I was bam, that's bam, bam, that's bam, bam. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but
no,
I was
we like, spoil on this pod.
Oh, okay.
And they spoil it in this episode. That was the whole reveal yourself business. So, I mean, we had everyone revealed. I feel good about that.
Yeah. But then, once then it's like, then it's just, well, I do. And I also now think we're at a point where the people who are left are actually like, I'm like, they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good. I mean, look, this top five that we start this episode with is so good. We have Poppy Love, who we know wants it that way. Okay, he's larger than life.
Yeah, he's back.
He is back. And, shape of his heart. Okay, so it's AJ. It's AJ. We all know it's AJ.
The call.
And the call.
Do you remember
the Neptunes remix of the call?
Yes. Remember the Neptunes.
Remember the Neptunes. Yeah, I do remember the call. I thought that was underrated, weirdly enough.
Same. I really loved that one.
I like that song.
Loved that one.
I gotta go.
Also, Poppy Love. AJ, when there was like a making of the Shape of the Heart video, and he was wearing a beanie, but he called it a skull cap, which maybe that's regional. But I adopted that into my life. And I also like then went to, I think, TJ Maxx or something. And I was like, I need a skull cap.
That's funny. And apparently he still does like a male drag, frankly, because he dresses wild. He still dresses in like what the 80s thought pimps dressed like. That's his aesthetic.
Yeah. He's like a Halloween costume of like rock star or something.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. We're going to reveal the rest of these stars that you had no idea who they were. But first, silence. I feel like taking a break.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. My break. Oh, we're back with Chad's stepmom and herself, and we're talking these reveals. Let's get into it. Okay, we have Poppy Love. We knew that was AJ. Donna Bellissima, Danny Franzese.
Yep.
Who, as I shared on the Drag Her podcast, Instagram has been texting me, fuck you, and because I critiqued some of her numbers. Sorry. Yeah.
She's been killing it. She's been doing really great. Well.
She's so beautiful and stunning. No, and it's all in fun. I mean, if you check the receipts, she said, fuck your light chirps, LOL. And that's laughing out loud, kids, okay?
Yeah, which means there's a lot of like levity and kindness.
Joy. She's great. She was one who was, I think, one of the easier ones to clock for me.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But also, yeah, absolutely.
We have that gentleman from Glee,
Kevin Kale.
Yes. Just serving. He's surprised me. I have to say he's very beautiful and seems to want it.
Yeah. I think he's found like a bit of a calling almost. Like I would go see this show.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder, do you think any of these queens will get on to the Drag Race? That would be funny.
That would be
crazy. They go to regular season.
I could see them doing like, or having this seed in their mind of like having a few of these Celebrity Drag Race seasons and then having like a season of Drag Race with like the all-stars of Celebrity Drag Race.
It'll never end.
It'll never end.
Yeah. It'll never end. Do you think Drag Race is on the decline? Are we in the middle of a drag recession? What's happening?
It's just like a different iteration or something. Cause it before it had such a cult thing. So like for those who really loved it, it was like the strongest thing. And we were like, had to wait months between seasons. So we were like,
remember that?
And it was like a bond, like finding someone else who watched Drag Race. There was a time where that was like really special and bonding. It was like,
yes,
you could like get into like the lore. And now it's so like just permeated everything that it doesn't have that same kind of like obsessive secret quality or whatever culty thing, but it's also like we're all still I watch every season of everything. I haven't watched Philippines yet, but I'm going
to. It's the best one currently of the internationals.
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching Down Under?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know.
I feel like I'm being fisted when I watch that.
Yeah, it's not a good way.
No, all right. So you guys know I have a really tiny, tight butthole.
Did you know people Botox their holes?
Wait. What do you mean? So there isn't like the ridges that a butthole has?
Actually, maybe that's part of it.
Wait, how do they do it? Wait, why do they do it?
I think it just keeps it looser.
Interesting.
Like it keeps it kind of at like a more relaxed.
It makes it more like those weird little like water sleeve toys from our childhood.
Which we loved.
And, you know, we all thought about it.
Yeah.
We all thought about fucking the water sleeve.
Water sleeve.
Wait, that's so weird. I have been obsessed lately with the YouTube plastic surgery, like a doctor who just, there's this doctor on YouTube. I'm sure there's many, but one who just looks at celebrities and says, he's just like, this is what they got done.
Yeah.
They got this done, and I live.
Yeah.
Not to take them down, just so I can know your fucking secrets. Stop keeping them secrets. Share your secrets.
Yeah, because then it's like the standard isn't like just that these people exist naturally, and I'm a freak for having my hair in this one too.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, some of them have money on the line where they're like, I'm selling a fake lotion that supposedly keeps my skin the way it looks. That's why I'm keeping up this lie. I'm not with it.
Not tea.
No, not tea. Anyway, I don't know how we got here. Botox buttholes. beautiful thing.
Yeah. How do we get to Botox buttholes? Fisting from Down Under.
Fisting. Down Under's terrible. So, okay, let's talk about our other remaining superstars. We have the amazing, played by Thirsty Von Trapp. I forget his name, but he's so good. He's on Hacks. He's such a great comedic actor. He's Thirsty Von Trapp.
Yes.
Been turning. And
absolutely.
So beautiful. Just did Britney's Crazy. What a treat. What a treat. I love him.
Yeah, there's like that, you remember like Maddie being on the show and Maddie Morphosis being criticized for not having that.
Right, that.
Yeah.
As Rue calls it.
Thirsty Von Trapp has the.
Yeah, she's got the.
Yeah.
Which obviously the early contestants in this season did not have. My God, can you believe how tired Taylor Dane was? She was exhausted.
Oh my God.
She was.
Taylor Dane was fierce, mama.
She was like a dog after a hike, just like.
Oh my God.
She was exhausted and overheated.
Taylor Dane is my diva.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, in All Stars 3, you were mad you didn't get Taylor Dane because someone else got Taylor Dane and you were like, that's a gay icon.
That's my gay icon. Tell it to my heart.
And then finally, of course, Chakra 7 revealed to be the amazing Tatiana Ali from Fresh Prince. Wow, love. Yeah. I mean, she's incredible and she really knows how to give face. She's the face winner of this contest.
Yeah, she's really turning it out. First, there is a weird thing sometimes where I'm like, some of her like the aesthetic that they're giving her hasn't been my favorite. So I don't know who's in charge. But I almost want her draggier or something. Like I don't know.
Yeah. And they're like trying to disguise her face, it seems, or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about these red looks from Monet, Jujubee, and Brooklyn Heights. again, I think they're underused. They underuse them. We need more of them in these episodes. Which maybe we'll get.
Yeah, I think they I mean, they're stunning. Monet's
I mean, like it's a Fat Albert reference. Thing. Yes, I believe it's a reference to a Fat Albert character.
Oh, it is?
I'm pretty sure because there's this amazing Fat Albert character who has the skull cap that goes all the way down over his eyes. Or it's just like a face ski mask, but I don't know like getting that from it.
It's stunning.
It's really
they're all stunning. They're all perfect. They're all like exceptional at drag. I think Monet has become like, especially with this last All-Stars run, like her style has been like stamped, like her brand of like streetwear stuff has been stamped.
Yeah, she slayed.
I love it. Yeah.
I had the controversial opinion, Monet winner of All-Stars 4, maybe. Monet winner of All-Stars 7, yes. Like,
I agree based on just like if that's how they're going to crown queens, but.
Right. And we know, but you know, and look, so we all saw the lip sync. It's, I think people have let it go now because we all know Jinx Monsoon is an amazing queen. I think you once said Jinx Monsoon's your favorite queen.
Yeah, I think so, still.
She's amazing, and she certainly deserved to win that episode, but we still deserve the full unedited clip of that lip sync.
It was edited to hell. Also, did you guys talk about here how they like filmed a reunion and then it got canned?
Yes, we haven't yet. So let's dig. I mean, look, come on. It's good
I
tea.
Have to know.
I know. And I went in, obviously World of Wonder was like, no. Because they signed contracts that say you absolutely cannot do that.
But then I'm like, I just have to know what led them to be like, well, we're filming it and we're going to do it. They must have had some... Like, I think we can get away with this.
So
maybe
I think
they had
to
send it for approval. Yeah.
Well, in the past, World of Wonder has really let go of their NDAs because NDAs don't hold up in court. They're very easy to throw out.
Yeah.
But I think in the past, it's been people violating NDAs for things like, well, one time a producer farted on my head. And so that's tea. And people are like, I guess that's tea. But I think the tea... was, I mean, coffee bean and tea leaf sized Starbucks headquarters, tea, coffee, crumpets for days, resuscitate the queen because there's too much tea. I think there was, I think they were like, we're never returning to the show so we can go off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they, but that then I'm also curious about it because it's like, I feel like it probably would have been more damaging to Jinx, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yes, but she was a part of it. I have to know. I know that's locked up in a vault in like the whatever.
That's the new Indiana Jones.
Sibling rivalry productions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the new Indiana Jones. That's the only Indiana Jones I want to see.
I feel like there'll be a day like 10 years down the line will it'll be released.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think we'll see it. I think it could be even in a year or two. We'll see. Who knows? Yeah. Work amazing,
slay
it down, and now we're gonna really get into this episode because oh my god,
yeah, let's get into the nitty gritty of it.
We really watched it, and we're not recording this a day before.
No, so we just freshly are off of it. We should talk about some of our favorite.
Yes,
probably.
Oh my god, Poppy Love is in the past looked terrible, and today a little bit better.
Do you think she got filler or like any like facial reconstructive surgery for this episode?
Oh,
she looked
interesting.
So like
different,
tall.
They may have given her one of those like quick little leg extension surgeries that are all the rage these days.
Yeah.
They pretty much just put coils in between your knees and your femurs, and it's just
and all the joints and all that stuff. Yeah, she was sickening. I really love.
She's
her
had the hardest go with makeup.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It touches her skin and it burns, it feels like.
Yeah. She's like,
but we're going to compliment her on her performance because it was RuPaul night, as we know.
Yeah, so it was RuPaul night and we do know that because we know that.
I mean, we know everything about the episode.
We do know that, just like we do know all the other things too. But
yeah, and the fact that he did Jealous of My Boogie.
He did Jealous My Boogie, and it was a fun like sort of rainbow bright energy outfit, pillowy big huge sleeves dragging across the ground.
So cool. I thought that was cool. Like the parachute stunt at the beginning was completely unexpected for me.
I know, because I didn't think that theater was that big. They've never panned the camera up to show how tall and long that
theater
is.
There's a skylight. There's a skylight that he plunges through, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, I think he did give more of that this week.
Absolutely, yeah.
Breathing new life into that Rue song, Jealous of My Boogie. Wow.
Yeah. And I do think that, yeah, I think deserved all the accolades afterwards and all the, there was that, like, it felt like a line that they had edited out, but that applause was pretty massive at the end.
That
just
was wild.
Yeah, it was huge.
And then one woman ran headfirst into a stage wall.
Yeah.
Because she was so pleased.
Yeah. That was really both. It was scary. It is scary.
Can you believe what's her name? Poppy Love. What Poppy Love said to Michelle, though, I thought that was kind of out of pocket. That was wild.
Yeah, she said, I'm sucking your guy.
Michelle said, excuse me?
Yeah. She said, what do you mean, excuse me? I can't clarify this. How could I clarify this? What do you need? What else do you need?
Again, I want you all to know, I don't know why I need to reiterate this, but this was not filmed a day before. This was not filmed a day before the episode came out because I'm going to Hawaii and fuck you guys.
If it had filmed the day before it came out, it would have been on like a Thursday, I believe. And I'm busy Thursdays always. So it's impossible for me to do that anyways.
I actually don't record on Thursdays because I'm superstitious. And I don't know if you know this. Fun fact, very, very famous podcaster, died on
Mark
a Thursday.
Maron.
Mark Maron died on a Thursday. And it's cursed. It's a cursed day. You never record podcasts on Thursdays.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
But anyways, okay. We don't really need to do this.
We don't need to do this.
A waste
this
of time.
A distraction. We need to get back to the episode we loved, which.
Okay.
Broke the format and brought the show back to the queer lexicon. Okay, yeah.
It's almost redundant doing a review because this has just been the news cycle.
Totally. Since, I mean, I do like that their identities were revealed as promised at the end of the last episode, which I hope was real and not a fake out.
Okay, so then I know they performed Peanut Butter and they were so good.
Oh my God, wait, because it was, I'm definitely going to say, because I saw it, Donna Bellissima did Peanut Butter, and she did like a whole funny bit with eating peanut butter, and it was like, oh yeah, that's funny together.
That's something we've never seen.
We've never seen Jinx Monsoon do that.
Yeah.
Which I thought it was a good way, right? She's not a dancing queen. I'm not a dancing queen, but I thought she made a really smart choice to do it as a monster eating peanut butter.
Yes. Yeah. What did they say? How long did they say the prosthetics took? It was like 6 hours.
6 hours.
And that was just for the like the prosthetics part of it, not the makeup on top of it.
Right. And then there was a fire on the stage, apparently in the middle of it, which delayed the overall makeup in and out time. She started getting in makeup at 1 a.m. to make it to set by 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Don't
when you're judging.
Count Donna Bellissima out just yet.
Except for she does go home this episode.
Obviously we know.
So don't count her out.
But she does go home this episode.
She is done.
Yeah, I mean, don't count her out. She's the one who I think would come back to do Drag Race.
Absolutely. I actually think would be good TV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved watching. I also think it's a shame to not see Donna Bellissima kind of use some of her comedy chops. Like this format doesn't allow Donna to thrive in an acting or improv or, you know, a challenge like that where it'd be like, oh yeah, she'd kill.
Yeah, she would kill. I think she would be an all over great queen.
I know. And I mean, I enjoyed her numbers, I think they could have inserted a roast challenge in here, a snatch game. Why not do a snatch game live on the stage?
That is a fun concept for a, I guess they sort of did that with like, the last season a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a snatch game.
They made it more like a challenge. Yeah.
If they want a performance, why don't they do You perform as a celebrity. It could even be their song or something, or just performing a song as a celebrity. You know, you're Carol Channing, you're Beyonce, whatever. And then you talk to the judges in character. You know, that's your chance to just pop in a few jokes there at the end. Why not?
Yeah, like a pageant, a Q&A.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But okay, so after Donna... After that, of course, we had finally Thirsty Von Trapp. Yes. Lovely, amazing actor from Hacks.
Yes.
They, of course, did the RuPaul song Devils.
Devil May Care, Devil's Watching.
Devil, yeah, the devil-y one. And wow, what a cool time to come out as a Satanist and just really own it.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's fun because they set us up with the lip sync and I thought it was like, she was really serving. And then to just have the background track keep going, but then take a mic and just give like an earnest outing of your beliefs.
Yeah.
Who you want to be, what kind of like sort of Dark Lord leader you worship. And
it was powerful. What you wish to happen.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Like weirdly reminiscent of Roxy Andrews' speech about being left at the bus stop.
Bus stop. Yeah. I literally thought bus stop.
Yeah. We said it at the same time, so you know it happened. She was just talking about how like Christ just left her there at the bus stop, like she didn't matter.
And what queer person doesn't feel that?
I mean, actually, that's tea. Oh my God. In our bad drag show, we couldn't, there were like three Christian numbers.
I know.
That was weird.
That's an element too with Stepmom. Yeah. I've added that in every song somehow, and I don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's it from?
And that's Divine Spirit.
And I got to say, your cute ass mom was at the show. Wow. Shout out to your mom coming and supporting your drag career.
She built that song with me.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's cute as hell.
I had a friend make the beat and then she recorded the vocals and mixed the vocals for me.
Wow. Your mom's amazing.
It was tea.
That was fucking cool. Is your sister-in-law a filmmaker too or something?
She's now a producer on Bob and Peppermint's podcast.
Wow, I live.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, so work.
Drag is spreading.
Okay, anything else we have to say about this Satanist number that we all saw and I think will stay in gay history forever?
Yeah, I think that was probably, I mean, for me, it was definitely the highlight just because I loved that vulnerability and I loved... the bravery of that.
RuPaul forced her. I mean, when RuPaul ripped her dress off and said, this is how you talk and like made her get vulnerable. I thought that was pretty gaggy.
It was. And some could see that as abusive. I'm speaking sometimes, especially when you're speaking on such a public forum like this, it's important to acknowledge. I bet a lot of the listeners found that to be abusive, but I found it powerful, and sometimes we need to be shepherded into our truth.
I mean, it was just a sequel to Wake Up, Pearl. You know, she's just helping her wake up a little bit more, which, you know, love that. Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about the remaining two numbers that we loved and who goes home and that lip sync at the end. Wow.
God.
But first, silence. I feel like taking a break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens three times a day. You want me to cook three? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Whoa, bring back my break. What are you those? They are lip syncs. What are those? They are lip syncs. We're back.
No, keep going, keep going.
I feel good about that. We're back. We're here. Let me ask you this, Chad, before we talk about these amazing performances. What RuPaul song would you love to do? And dare I say, I'm not going to put you totally on the spot, but like, what funny tilt would you bring to the performance?
Oh God, I'm stressed now. Well, now I'm stressed.
Now it's stressed. I'll start.
Okay.
If that helps.
Sure.
I'm just going to say the realness. Do the realness and then do it in like a on purpose crunchy drag.
Yeah.
Is a potential way to approach it comedically.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
Take your teeth out.
That's my first stab. That's my first stab at it. I'll keep thinking.
I might do Call Me Mother is really fun to do, I bet. And you could do like some sort of a like you'd be like a mother of some sort. It could be an interesting
Or a stepmother. No, that would be cool. I love that. Even like maybe like Mother Goose-ish. That's an angle.
Yeah, actually that would be really fun. Mother Goose would be really fun.
And then you make all the dancers dress up like fairy tales.
Yeah, have eggs, etc.
Exactly. Your Jack Pipers. Is that one?
Your Humpty Dumpties.
Your Dumpties.
Merry Little Lambs.
The cow moon guy. The cow that went over the moon.
Over the moon.
That
iconic.
That gash.
Slut. Yeah.
You fucking cum slut.
Slippery, goopy, slit.
Has gay porn run out of vulgar ways to talk about cum? I haven't heard any. What's the new hot word for cum?
I never get that far.
You never get that far? I've seen cum. I've seen cock milk, which I was like, oh, that's funny.
Whoa, that's wild.
Yeah. Nut, seed, spooge. But I don't know. I think it's time for a new word for cum.
Yeah, that's interesting. Juice.
Juice.
Your drip.
Your drip. Your glaze, come on.
Glazed donut. Yeah,
glaze, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Your honey.
Your honey. Give me that honey. Yeah. Agave syrup. Let's see, simple syrup.
You're
if
simple.
You're sucking a dumb guy, it's simple syrup. So... let's talk about this fucking lip sync. Of course.
Kevin McHale.
Yes, the Kevin McHale, the Chick LaFay, which I Chick hate LaFay. That name. Hate.
That's the only thing. If Chick LaFay wanted to take this seriously, there would have to be a name intervention. Absolutely.
Terrible. Yeah, yeah. We need to sit this queen down and say, your name has hurt me in the following ways.
Yeah, it needs to be a group of five or so. Yeah, I hate the name. Hard to say and evokes invokes?
I know. Invokes. Yeah, you said evokes. Invokes. Invokes.
Invokes.
Yeah.
And invokes the devil shoop.
Yeah, but I will say, look, Chick LaFay's performance of Sissy That Walk was great.
Absolutely. Treadmill. Out of drag.
Yes.
Flats.
Yes.
No expressions.
Yes.
Dead at the camera.
Yes.
The camera did the slow zoom just like it did at that RuPaul video where it asks three questions.
Yeah. The more and more personal questions.
Yeah. Personal. It did that, which was sort of a take on that, which I thought was really interesting. I think RuPaul understood.
And the unexpected French kiss with Carson Kressley, I thought worked for
me. Yeah, I think it worked too.
I think it worked. Yeah,
I like the length of it and all that.
Yeah, and I never realized how long and stringy Carson's fingers are. So it was cool to see them going in and out of Kevin's throat. Yeah. Couldn't hold him up at all. Because he tried picking him up with his weird web fingers. Like almost like a Footloose style. He tried picking up Kevin's body.
Which obviously didn't happen in rehearsal. So I did love the improv of that. I thought the spirit was in the right place and all that. But it was hard to watch his loose fingers crumble at the weight of Kevin McHale.
It reminded me of Sleeping Beauty. You know, the spindle? You know, like the spindle that Sleeping Beauty can't touch?
Yes.
That whole thing?
Uh-huh.
His fingers bear a striking resemblance to those evil, haunted spindles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it kind of made you think.
It made me think about that. It made me think about that. But at the end of the day, I said, work, honey. Yes, mommy.
We were all, give me milk, mommy. We love this, mommy.
This episode redefined Drag Race. We know this.
Yes.
Jujubee quit because she said, I'll never see drag this good. So I quit.
And we found out, yeah, because she was like, that's what I've been waiting for. I've kept coming back. I was hoping to see it every single time. I was hoping to see it.
You've broken the curse.
Exactly.
And now I can be released. And she just, and the way she ascended, I think.
Like a balloon.
Like
a deflated balloon.
Yeah, like that way to the heavens. Yeah. I thought was beautiful.
Like a deflated balloon, but if the deflated balloon kept going up.
Exactly.
They get it.
Up
they
in
saw
one
it.
Direction. We saw it. Well, I mean, look, there's some stuff you don't have to recap. We saw it.
Yeah.
And of course, that final performance, which was, of course, Chakra 7.
Yeah, Chakra 7.
And she performed.
She did that spoken word of, it was a bit of a mashup, but it was the no H&M. It started with, I don't want to see any goddamn H&M on this runway.
I love that.
Because she was shopping
was so
at
cool.
H&M, and she kept repeating that over and over to no
yes,
beat.
The mega mix of yeah. it all.
Yeah.
And then
she kicked into We As Gay People.
We get to choose our family. And then it went into I Love Fracking, the fact they got that audio.
I know. Well, it did feel from like a spy camera audio.
Yeah, it was rougher quality than the rest.
Which was interesting because it just felt, I don't know, I didn't see RuPaul flinch, so
right.
He approved it. But yeah, it was, I loved.
But then
that.
Ending with that atrocious remix of RuPaul and Blue Hydrangea, hearing that reprised.
It was like a chopped and screwed, slowed down version of it too. It was like, triple the length probably.
Yes. Like I thought Super Queen was going to be, the slow Super Queen was going to be the worst song we've ever heard in RuPaul's Drag Race history, but we were wrong. This was.
Yeah. But really again, bad. The performance of Chakra 7 really brought out something in it that I think kind of saved it. Didn't make the song great, but it made me reevaluate like as an art piece. It's like framing a like murder weapon or something.
Right.
Where it's like, that's still a bad thing, but I'm appreciating it in this context behind glass.
Did you buy RuPaul's standing ovation? Like, was she saving face? Did she believe it?
I didn't really think about that take. I haven't really thought about sort of in general the integrity of RuPaul as a character and sort of mm-hmm. if she might be someone who would feign
mm-hmm.
every action. I'm going to say I did buy it.
Okay, yeah.
Because I don't really want to live in whatever that universe is that you're
Well, I mean, I think it's clear that RuPaul has loved every second of this season and is not just counting the coins she's making. Like, that is not why she's here.
No.
She likes watching celebrities do okay drag. I think it's a joy for her.
Yes. Yeah. She hasn't come this far to do stuff for, just for money. Let's be real.
Let's be real, guys. It's a passion project. And honestly, sharing drag with straight people is what a 19-year-old RuPaul saw herself doing all these years later. That was always the goal.
Yeah. When she was in Atlanta. I mean, when she was in San Diego working at a car shop.
Yes.
Right? I think that's true.
I think that might be true. I know she lived with her sister and brother and borrowed her brother-in-law's car. Remember that? Yeah.
So,
she brought up in this episode, which I thought was like, it was kind of long-winded, but I'm glad she brought it all up in this episode.
Yeah, she said it in one breath too, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Because you can see it was stressful. It's near the end. You can tell there was more to the story, but she didn't want to take an inhale. And I thought, it was an interesting storytelling tactic.
Showman. She's a showman.
Yep.
Where were we going with this?
That's the theme of this season.
That is the theme of this season. Well, unfortunate, of course. Poppy Love wins again.
Annoying, right?
Annoying. Come on.
Actually, legitimately, I am in between Poppy Love and Chiclafay.
Okay, yeah. I am in between Poppy Love and Chakra 7. I would like one of them to win, I think.
Yeah. Because you don't like gay guys?
I don't like gay guys. No. Like I said, drag is for straights. Yeah. I've just kind of been, I like Chiclafay, but I literally might be the name. It might be the name that's like, I can't root for you. You can't win.
Isn't that interesting? It's like if someone loses you like that, then it's like, it's such an uphill battle to, because even if something is fun, you're like, I don't give a shit.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
I don't give a shit. And we'll say it. You little leaky cunt hole. So the bottom two, of course, is Donna and?
And Yum.
Thirsty. Von Trapp.
Yum.
Of course. Yum. Yeah.
I see why I made that connection.
Yeah. And they have to lip sync too, of course. RuPaul's.
This is the beginning.
Cat. You know, this was the beginning, which is ironic because it was the end of the episode. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
And it was the end for one of them.
And they kept going, oh, it's not.
Yeah, which was funny. It was funny. They kept shrugging their hands up. Thirsty just was a little thirstier for that win.
Yeah.
So she took it.
And goodbye, Donna Bellissima. I don't think. This is the last we'll see of Donna Bellissima.
Oh, heavens no. No. Donna's going to start doing drag door to door. Just knock, knock, knock.
I mean, iconic.
Caroling would be, drag caroling would be iconic.
Gotta have a gimmick.
Gotta know. I'm excited to see Donna, return to her fabulous self. I want to see her do more comedy. And if they bring her back, let her fucking use her comedy chops.
I mean, I'm curious to hear, unless I've missed it, if like some of these, if there's like exit interviews or like if they've gone on podcasts to be like, what was the experience like? Because it would be fascinating to hear Donna's take on being on the show and then also like what drag, how the transformation.
I mean, T-Vonna is, I did want to have her on this podcast, but.
Fuck you.
She can't. She can't be on the podcast, you know.
Oh, I thought you meant this specific one instead of me. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, wow, you really want to silence Donna.
I'm sorry.
No, I really wanted her to be on, but she can't because of, you know, the WoW says NDA. You can't do podcasts, I think, for like a year or something until
makes
after.
Sense.
Yeah. Makes sense. They got to protect their show. Maybe in a year when people are still chomping at the bit to get their secret celeb drag race questions answered, we will have Donna on, I hope.
I would live.
And she will read me down because rightfully so.
And she'll still be angry.
I think so. And I think she has every right for me, a mediocre queen, to come for her, a legend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Chad. That is the episode of Secrets of Love Drag Race. We had so much fun watching.
I loved it. Thanks for inviting me over. Yes, and then sending me back home to do this on Zoom.
And I want everyone to know I am not currently in Hawaii living my best life. I am not. I did not refuse to bring my equipment with me to Hawaii to record. That is a rumor. If you read that on SheMZ, it's a rumor. It's a lie. It's dirty.
I know.
Dirty,
I did
dirty.
See that. That's rude. It's weird. It's rude and weird that people
it's
make stuff
rude
like that
and
up.
Weird. It's yeah. rude and weird. And if you're mad about this episode of the podcast, well, fuck you, Gash.
Yeah.
You, the one in your car, you specifically.
And I'm also talking to the one on your big comfy armchair.
Ew, you listen there. To podcasts on your armchair?
Yeah, this one does. And they're sitting there pissed because they think that we didn't see the episode.
See, and these people drive me up a fucking wall.
And even if we didn't see the episode, I think we did it would have been a pretty good job of pretending that we did.
In fact, I hope the listeners have fun looking at one-to-one how accurate our review was, because it's probably very accurate because we saw the episode.
Yeah.
Chad, where can we find you? What's up, bitch? Where can we find you? How can we support you? Where can we
follow me
you?
On everything? I've been posting the stepmom stuff on just my personal Instagram, so at Chad Westbrook. And I do think I'm gonna start getting into that more because it was so much fun. So I'm like light planning and probably doing a full stepmom show here in the future at some point. So
you should. So that's genius.
People want
to. Dynasty would love to have you.
Yeah, I'd be into Dynasty. I'd be into anywhere. So if you're a theater, hit me up. If support me at all, just hit
if
me
you're
up.
A theater building listening to this, please.
You know, sometimes you walk by a theater and there's two AirPods on each like opposite walls.
Yes. I went by the Studs Theater in West Hollywood, and it was listening to a podcast.
Was it yours?
It could have been. So Studs Theater, if you're listening, stepmom, how iconic if you did your drag show in that sex theater.
That's such a good idea.
Honestly,
I'll not come. A bad idea.
Honestly, not a bad idea. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Okay. That's genius.
If you like Drag Her Podcast, follow us on Drag Her Podcast on Instagram. And give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast. It helps keep the lights on. We love to read them on there. And that's really it, bitches. Links to Chad's stuff will be in the podcast description. So click below. Till next time, my fucking cunt. Let the music play.
The beginning.
This is the beginning of the podcast.
That was a HeadGum original.